In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, welcome to worship this Sunday morning as we gather together in God's name and greet one another and welcome one another in the name of Christ. We're glad that you're here with us this morning. Please take time to sign the welcome pads that you'll find at the inside pew and pass them down the pew so that they can, so that you may greet one another by name following the worship service. In our time of fellowship this morning, we invite you to come and to stay for fellowship as we say goodbye to Co-Pastor Medhat. This is his last Sunday with us this morning, and all of us will be gathering together in the Hope Room for a time of saying goodbye, and there is no college fellowship brunch today. We will resume again next month with that. I would like to say a special hello to the Jacobs family who just walked in unexpectedly. And we are always blessed by those who have moved from our midst and have come back to be with us as well from time to time. Welcome. Next Tuesday evening at 7 o'clock, you are invited to come and share some time of table talk with Reverend Dick Dannenfelser around the text that will be part of the sermon for next week. That's Tuesday, 7 to 7:45. Come join for that time of discussion. On Friday, our youth will be going mini-golfing, meeting here at 7. If you could make the suggested donation is $10 or whatever you can pay towards that event this week as we continue to strengthen our youth program and build in new ways. The following Friday, I am looking for some help with our youth mission day or afternoon of activity, which will be helping to serve and host the PICA community dinner down at Mathewson Street next Friday afternoon. I'm going to be looking for some logistical assistance with transportation and getting youth there. I think we'll be okay once we get to the time after work in terms of getting people back, but if anyone can help me around 3:30, please email me or drop me a note in my mailbox. Are there other announcements this morning as we gather together here? Please do take note of the bulletin. There are lots of things happening on the calendar that we haven't mentioned. The web site should also be up to date, or mostly up to date, with what's going on. And the email version of the newsletter for November, December went out this morning. So please take note of that. An announcement. Oh, Sherry has an announcement.
So for those of you who may or may not know the Backmans, Megan and Nathan, Megan turned 30 this year, and so I'm trying to do something really special for her birthday. I'm going to be visiting them in a week, and I wanted to get people who she's met in Rhode Island while she was here to share something, either a memory or something that they're grateful for her. And I wanted to write it all on little pieces of paper and give it to her in a box when I go visit. So if you do know Megan and you'd like to participate, just let me know at coffee hour.
Thanks. Great. Thanks. Oh, Judy has.
Hi, everybody. You may remember last year I made an announcement that I'm involved with the Smithfield Rotary Club, and they have their annual citrus fundraiser that's happening again this year. So I have order forms with me, for those of you who ordered last year, thank you. And I'm happy to announce that this year they did come up with some smaller boxes of fruit, some smaller quantities, because last year, even myself included, I love fruit, but there's no way that I was going to get through a box of like 50 grapefruit. So literally, they have smaller bags, smaller boxes. So I'll have some order forms with me in the coffee hour afterward, and delivery for those is on December 7th. Thank you.
I just put up a new coffee hour sign up. It's all empty and ready for people to sign up.
Find your friends and help host coffee hour. There's great assistance from the deacons available to help with that process. The Lord is in the sanctuary. Let all the people praise and pray. Let us gather as one that we might be renewed in heart and spirit, in trust and strength and love. Come, let us worship God as we sing together, God of Wonders, led by the worship band.
Good morning. Join me in standing as we sing.
Our Lord on Sundays, we are called to turn to God with hearts openly seeking God's forgiveness for what we have done and for what we have left undone. With hearts so open, let us pray, first in silence, then praying together as is printed in our bulletin. We pray together. Almighty God, who does freely pardon all who repent and turn to him, Now fulfill in every contrite heart the promise of redeeming grace, forgiving all our sins and cleansing us from an evil conscience through the perfect sacrifice of Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let us continue in a spirit of confession as we sing our song of confession, verse 5 of Our God, Our Help in Ages Past, number 210 in the big hymnal. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ, and Christ died for us, Christ rose for us, Christ reigns in power for us, Christ prays for us. Hear and believe the good news of the gospel. God is love. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Be reconciled to God and to one another. Amen.
Now it's time to share our joy and concern to each other and to the Lord.
the neighborhood sounded a little quieter this morning, it's because the foster family had to put down our somewhat complicated but quite loving dog this week. So do pray for us as we come to terms with that loss.
I'd like to ask for prayers for Walter's sister's family, Evelyn. She passed away last Monday. She lived 98 years, so she was a good long time, but there's a lot of memories there for them to do. I'd also like prayers for Walter, who will probably be undergoing radiation this week, and also for Presbytery, which meets this Saturday.
I'd like to ask for prayers for a colleague of mine. Her name is Wanda. Last week, she was complaining of not feeling well. She was getting an irregular heartbeat. But she came to work anyway. She came Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. On her way home, she drove right into the emergency room. Right after she got there, she had a heart attack, and then after that, a stroke. So she's in Memorial Hospital in Pawtucket. So lots of prayers for her. She's only 48 years old.
Like prayers for people who deal with addictions and depression, and also for the families with all the cuts with food stamps, and because I know there's a lot of struggles, because they're telling the families to go to food banks, and I know the food banks are struggling in itself. So, you know, prayers for the people that are trying to just put food on the table for everybody, especially around Thanksgiving. It's really hard for the families and children.
I have a friend who's running the New York City Marathon today, so just prayers for all of those runners, especially since it's a big difference in the temperature today than yesterday.
This is in conjunction with the marathon that's been running, is running today. I saw on the news where there's two boys running, and they're twins, and they're severely autistic. And that brought to mind that some of my family work with autistic children, that we need to pray for all the autistic people in this world, let alone those two boys that are running the marathon. Thank you.
I like prayers for my grandfather, Leroy. He was hospitalized this past week. He turns 97 next month, and he's been in, like, he's kind of a medical anomaly, his doctors say, because he's quite healthy. But he has been kind of dealing with some moments of, or extended periods of confusion, and they're thinking it might be some mini strokes that he's having. So it might signal something kind of down the line. So we're just prayers for us. He's not really, you know, at his age and not really strong enough to endure any kind of invasive surgery. So they're just trying to kind of treat it and just hoping for the best. So just prayers for all, for the Marburger family. Thank you.
Brother Medhat. One of the joys and what I'm thankful for is for your time and your ministry and your leadership among us, and for your vision. But mostly I am thankful for and want to remind you that you owe me a cup of coffee. And I'm going to collect.
I would only second that.
And I would be the third person.
My friend Rich Evans died yesterday. Please pray for his children.
I'd like to thank the congregation for your prayers for Christiana Barbosa. As you probably have already heard, he was a first-year student at Bryant University who was killed in a car accident not long ago on campus. So it's been a very tough time for the campus, so we appreciate your prayers, but also obviously a very, very hard time for the family. So I just ask for continued prayers for Cristiano's family and our campus community as we all continue to heal.
I'd like to add prayers of joy for travels past and pending, and for the families of the tragedies. I think we're hearing about too many hit and run deaths. There's got to be something that we can, as a group, pull together and maybe keep that from happening again.
I became aware of a joy this morning that former active folks here, Steph Shaw and Joe Pritchett, have a new baby, Emerson. I don't know when he was born, but he was born. It's on Facebook. So prayers of joy for that. And I know that many of you already know that Trey Harrison, who was particularly active here 5 years ago before he met his beloved wife, Carrie. Carrie was killed in and hit by a car this week very suddenly when they were out walking. And the funeral will be held on Tuesday with visiting hours on Monday. The details are posted on the PPC News bulletin board. There's extra copies for those of you who don't have that. Trey has been very appreciative of the folks who have reached out to him already in this week with emails, phone messages, texts, whatever, and he is very much a part of this community and will be back to this community and need the strength of this community. He was hoping to be in worship this morning, but they're having at this hour a special viewing for Liren of her mother, Liren, Carrie's daughter, who's 7 years old. So please keep them in your prayers this week. I will be attending that service on Tuesday morning. If you have more questions, let me know. But however you can reach out to Trey in this time would be most appreciated. Let us pray. In life and in death, O God, we belong to you. Pour forth your spirit on these, your people, on the people of this world, for you know the hurts of our hearts and spirits, the need for your transforming love and grace, moment by moment, day by day. We lift to you this day particularly the many who grieve in this time, Trey and Liren, for all of Carrie's family, for the family and friends of Rich Evans and Dan Varen's grandchildren and his daughter, Laura, for Evelyn's family's death this week, for Walter as he grieves another sister, for Cristiano's family and the Bryant community as they continue to grieve, for the Fosters. We praise you for the way that you are able to bring hope and healing even in the midst of very difficult days. For you are our rock, our salvation, in whom we trust. We pray for the Broderick family and particularly for your work in Ryan's father as they face this new cancer diagnosis. We pray for Walter and radiation, for Wanda, Gladys's colleague, for Leroy, Lori's grandfather. Within our presbytery, we pray for the meeting next Saturday that your will may be done. For pastors Justin Ray, Kathleen Davis, Bill Showalter, and candidate for ministry Morgan Campbell. We give thanks, God, for the grace at work in this church as we say goodbye to Pastor Medhat and as he returns to his family. We give thanks for his ministry among us and the ways that you have worked in and through him so that we might move further toward the church you would have us be. We pray for your strength and wisdom in this next phase of transition, and eagerly await the gifts and resources of those who will join us in the journey, as you have provided for us in the past. Amidst everything in this life, O God, help us to see the blessings as we celebrate the joys of life, for the new delivery of Emerson, for the pregnancies amongst us, for visitors from near and far and returning, for those who are courageous in running the New York City Marathon and smooth running there. We pray, O Lord, for our world, for those in need of justice, compassion, hope, for all your people, for the unemployed and the homeless, for those who may have needs that only you know. We give thanks for the ways that you work with people in recovery and struggling with mental health issues, as you reach out and in and through us to deal with poverty and needs for food, as you continue to strengthen and support towards wholeness. We pray for those who work with autistic children and those with special needs, for all of our teachers in our midst, and for those continuing to recover from Hurricane Sandy, no longer in our headlines. Help us, O God, ever to look to you, to be a servant people in your image, in the power of the one who shows us the way, walking with us day by day, and who teaches us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our children are released to their classes in this time as we welcome our worship leader this morning to read the scripture.
Our first reading is from Psalm 92, 1 through 5, found in the Pew Bible on page 519 or the large print Bible on 674. It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your steadfast love in the morning and your faithfulness by night, to the music of the lute and the harp, to the melody of the lyre. For you, O Lord, have made me glad by your work. At the works of your hands I sing for joy. How great are your works, O Lord. Our second reading is from Luke 13, 18 to 22, found on page 71 of the Pew Bible or page 93 of the large print Bible. He said, therefore, what is the kingdom of God like, and to what should I compare it? It is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in the garden. It grew and became a tree, and the birds of the air made their nest in the branches. And again he said, to what should I compare the kingdom of God? It is like the yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened. Jesus went through one town and one village after another, teaching as he made his way to Jerusalem. This is the word of the Lord.
first, let me confess my weakness of it's hard when you know you are preaching the last sermon and when the same day you are saying goodbye to people. But that's why the word of the Lord exists, and the Lord exists in our life to lift our spirit in a time like this and to remind us there is a hand that outreaching for us to help us. And I like to, while I'm saying goodbye, I like also to remember the growth and the wonderful thing God did in my life through you and what God did to the whole society, to Providence through you. And hopefully to the whole world through a true church that faithful to the Lord and to the whole world. More than 6 years ago, I was applying to be a Presbyterian pastor in USA since I moved here. And the first thing, they were happy with me and my credentials and everything, but they asked me to do something to prove I can do ministry in the new context and a new culture. And I was fine with that. For the first time, I heard about something called CPE, Clinical Pastor Education. And they said, you have to do at least one unit. I went there to do it, not really out of love or knowing what's this about, just I have to do it. But it was really a great experience. And one story I like to share was my early experience in U.S. as a minister. When I was doing the chaplain internship at a hospital in Minneapolis, during my internship, I met a patient who was asking about marriage in the kingdom of God. And to be honest with you, maybe I laughed inside myself, but at the same time, I saw how serious he was talking about this issue. And his question was about his first wife had died many years ago, and now he was married again. And he asked me which one will be his wife in heaven. And I assume there is some issues here more than what he's saying. But I took it seriously, maybe later, more than really in the conversation. And I felt this is similar to the conversation between what Jesus did with the Jews in Luke's gospel. What's really the kingdom of God is about? And Jesus shocked his listeners into thinking about the kingdom of God as something that will come to you where you are now. And he changed their minds from thinking about the future as something always far away and something apocalyptic and not realistic, to think about the present when he said the kingdom of God is inside you. And this was really a true deep revelation to say, like, do not just delay your joy and your excitement and you really being engaged in society by thinking everything will happen tomorrow. In other words, we can see you saying, today start now and here. Tomorrow start now and here. From this perspective, the kingdom of God is present with us now, and we move forward to understand the master seed parable. The first part in this parable is about how someone planted a tiny seed. I remember my grandpa, who was a farmer, who taught me about if you lived in the Middle East, there are some plants are looking as very holy and very important. Regardless of how much fruit they give to you, it's a sign of blessing. And one of them is the mustard seed. The other one is the olive tree and the palm tree. And that's why even people like my grandpa, who barely know how to read and write, love the gospel and love the story about Christ. Because he feels like Christ understood them. He spoke the language they can understand. They didn't know how to talk about computers and all this modern culture we live in, but when it comes to farming, they are very expert and they get it very well. And he told me about the master seed parable, pointing out how the master tree had grown in our region. And he told me how the people who planted that tree saved their crops by planting it, because they knew that if they did, the birds would come and eat the leaves from the tree instead of eating their harvest. And somehow they were smart to plant a tree like that. He told me, too, that there are only a few of these trees left in the region in the modern time, because they took a long time to grow, very long. He also told me that people who had planted trees like olive tree or our palm tree or mustard seed, they know they are planting something they will not see the fruit of. He told me that who planted the mustard seed or the olive tree or the palm trees, they knew that they would not harvest the reward from their sowing, but their children would. And maybe not even their children by flesh, but everybody, every passenger on the road. Somebody who can take a shade under a tree in the middle of a desert. A date and a day that was no food to get some energy on the road. An olive tree was all this loving and wonderful smell you can get when you are around them. The second part about this parable is the stage of growing. Let us think about how the seed became a tree. And its journey to becoming a tree. It's not just something happened in the morning we planted and the second day we found a wonderful tree everybody's speaking about. It took a long time. We have been talking about the journey all over in everything. And it's a journey to grow from being very vulnerable and tiny. And when you are growing, you are suffered a lot of things, challenges. And for these trees, they have many challenges like wind, sand, storms, burning sun, and famine. But in all these challenges, it didn't destroy it. It helped it to develop. It became stronger. And the third part about this tiny seed is, I call it the adulthood. The tree now is growing, and the work is over. The dream became real. The tiny seed became a huge tree. And it is similar to the time when we feel more satisfied, successful, life looks better, safer. We can hold things by ourselves now. But that's the time, too, when I call it time of temptation. I can do it by myself now. I don't need your help anymore. This is the time when we really need to think about how do we deal with our strengths and not only our weakness. And the last part about making a decision. Do we share this work with others, or do we take these benefits for ourselves? This tree has become a place for birds. And when I always hear that, I always imagine the image of a place for refugees, a place for people who are flying around the world, trying to find a place, not even to call it home, but at least maybe a place to catch their breath, to find their way. And when I was reading that, I was thinking about how many people, the report I read on BBC about how many people, especially from the Middle East now, are drawn in the Mediterranean Sea because they are leaving death, hoping for life to another death. And most of them are coming from all these regions and countries we know about. They know they are facing death, but at least they're trying for another way. For everyone to come to find a place and build a nest. The weak, the small seed, who needed so much help in the beginning, became strong and independent, and not selfish, but a giver of its power to others. And it is really glory when it became available for all who are in need. And to go back to the story I told you about this man who asked me about which one of his wife will be his wife in heaven. My answer for this man who asked me about his wife was, God came to us entering into our human life to show he can suffer with us and he can understand our struggle. God is the one in Christ we can see who can relate to us and spread the message that God's kingdom is with us now. God came to us where we are at. God meets us where we are. We know the human part of kingdom, but we cannot fully comprehend the kingdom of God. And that's part of the mystery we live with. While we know we are stood on one foot in this ground of reality, and we have another foot we didn't know where it will go in the future. But that's what we call faith and hope. We trust when we put our second foot on the floor, we'll be strong and we'll be okay. But we are comforted in the knowledge of God who cares for us and suffers with us, delivering us from suffering and death. And here are some lessons I'm saying to myself and share these lessons with you. It is a huge challenge to be a good person and give in a time where we need some support. But believe me, it's hardest to be humble when we receive. Remember that we are a tiny seed in the kingdom of God, and we give the glory to our God in whatever way we serve, as a giver or as a receiver. Another story from my learning experiences as a CPE student. I found was a chaplain who was sitting on a patient bed, and nobody could visit him. And I didn't know even he was a chaplain, but just reading the data and knowing his background and then things. And he was really struggling, was thinking about like a few years ago, he was the one moving around, offering help and support to people. And now he is in a place where he needs the support. And it is hard. And all the time they taught us, we are struggling because we're thinking about if the patient was me, what do I do? And moving between really being humble when we give, but also being humble when we are vulnerable and we need to receive. Accept pain not as a joy, not as something to celebrate, but as part of a harsh reality to grow in this life and faith. God redeems our suffering, our sins, and the sins of others that affect us. Let us live today because we are in the kingdom of God. Do not wait for tomorrow. Tomorrow starts here and now. Let us thank God for the things you have done to the whole world and the things you have done to me. And I will let you know, as much as I grow since I came here, being at PBC for 1 year was a wonderful experience that made me grow too much. I hope so. And it moved me from being realistic to be more hopeful. I came here with my expectation was normal or realistic about a church and struggles and things. And I think you exceeded my expectation of saying there is a community that really could exist with diversity in every aspect and could live together. There is a place we all serve as ministers, and not only the paid staff who are serving and being in the center, but everybody is really part of this team. You helped me to understand is there is a place for everybody to grow. And as you sent many people all over U.S. and even outside our country, today you are sending a young minister who came with a few things, but is leaving with a lot because you taught me a lot. Thank you. And I'd like to close with words from my wife, so I'm quoting my wife right now. So she's responsible for that. This year was a great blessing for me. Yes, it was challenging, but it was also extremely interesting and life-changing. And I'm so grateful that I had the chance to meet all of you. This church has taught me a lot about what it means to be a church that will be always with me. Me and my babies were baptized with you, and their spiritual roots begin there. They will want to see it when they are older. I know we will meet again. Stacy. Thank you.
It is right and fitting that we would celebrate communion this morning. As we gather here at this table, as we gather for intinction, as we gather together as a community of this church. Friends, this is the joyful feast of the children of God. All who seek to earnestly follow Christ are invited to partake of this communion. People will come from east and west and north and south to sit at table with the Lord our God. And we are invited to this table. This is not a Presbyterian table, but this is Christ's table. This is a table to which all are invited who seek to follow Christ in their lives, to partake of him, to be one with one another. According to Luke, when our risen Lord was at table with his disciples, he took the bread and he blessed and broke it, and he gave it to them. And their eyes were open, and they recognized him. Remember the Lord Jesus as we join together here this day.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise. Let us pray. Holy God, we praise you for your Son Jesus, who shared our weakness, and who was tempted in every way as we are. He came to earth that we and all people might be saved and set free to live in your spirit that day and for all time. Now give us your spirit in the breaking of bread and the sharing of the cup, so that by your power we may be drawn together and made one with Christ Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. Take these common elements that they might be set aside for your holy and spirit-filled purpose in the coming to this table. In Christ and through Christ we pray. Amen.
Remembering the Lord Jesus, we break bread and share one cup, announcing his death for the sin of the world and telling his resurrection to all people and nations. The Lord Jesus, on the night of his arrest, took bread, and after giving thanks to God, broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this remembering me."
In the same way, after they had eaten, Jesus took the cup, and he said, "This cup is the new covenant, sealed in my blood for the forgiveness of sins. As often as you drink this cup and eat this bread, you proclaim my life until I shall come again." Jesus said, "I am the vine and you are the branches. Abide in me and you will bear much fruit. Cut off from me, you can do nothing." The gifts of God for the people of God.
Thank you.
Let us pray together our prayer of thanksgiving. Loving God, you have given us a share in the one bread and the one cup and made us one with Christ. Help us to bring your salvation and joy to all the world. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Now is the time to give our offerings to the church.
Loving and most gracious God, it is good to be reminded that your love pours forth on us. We give thanks for the blessings of these hands, for the ways in which you call us to give of ourselves in all ways, time, talents, and even in money itself. Pour forth your spirit on these, your blessings, on these offerings this day, from near and far, that they might do your will, your work, your ministry, and your mission to the ends of the earth. Amen.
As often as we eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. He is God of love and life, and he is now and forever. Amen.
PJ's like stage fright.
We missed you,
but
Ed was there, so he has notes for you. Hey, John, are you going to be helping out with the pike dinner?
I don't know yet.
When will you know?
Probably on the 15th.
No.
Well, I know
help
I'm.
Help us out.
I know I'm going to basketball. I'm going to basketball event on the 22nd, and then I'll be doing my mission stuff at like Parents Day Out.
I know, but we need a lot of people to serve that dinner, so how about an extra one for the team?
Okay.
Yes?
Yeah. Just let me talk to my mom and make sure.
Talk to your mom and make sure it's in the family schedule.
I'll let you.
And also ask Dave Bay if he'll go